Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Full Circle Reviews. Tonight, we're going to be reviewing the movie Taking Lives from 2004, psychological crime thriller. It was my pick. And tonight we have Kristen. We've got Justin.
Sup.
And Luke.
That's me.
And we are Full Circle Reviews.
Yes, we are.
So this is a movie that was directed by DJ Caruso. Cast includes Angelina Jolie, Ethan Hawke, and Kiefer Sutherland.
What kind of music does he DJ?
I don't know. It says his initials are DJ Caruso. Those are his initials. Got it.
I thought you meant like he was an actual DJ. No?
Oh,
God. Let us get a minute in before the cheesy jokes.
Just letting you know what it said.
Cool.
Yeah. Excellent. All right.
I got questions.
Do you?
No, we're good.
All right. So, Justin, what were your initial reactions to this movie?
I think we should start with Luke.
Luke, thoughts? You're the first time viewer on this one.
I am the first time viewer. Okay. It was okay. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. There are positives and negatives. So I'm being totally wishy-washy now, and I realize that. But it's not something I will remember 2 months from now.
Gotcha.
Is what I'm saying.
That's okay.
Justin, off to you.
I'm about in the same ballpark. I like aspects of this movie, but there's also some that are kind of eh for me. I thought Angelina Jolie, I wouldn't say was on the top of her game, but did a great job. Kiefer Sutherland played a good weirdo, and Ethan Hawke was Ethan Hawke. So storyline was pretty good, was slightly predictable at some parts, but I thought it was a good movie. I wouldn't say great, but good movie.
Okay. So it was my pick, right?
What do you think about this movie?
Yeah.
I like this movie.
Why'd you pick it?
Well, that's what I was going to get into.
What was the target audience?
So thank you for asking.
Yeah.
I think anyone that likes somewhat soapy psychological thriller kind of, I mean, the combination of thriller drama and a little bit of a steamy romance. So it's more of a, I would say, a chick flick crime drama.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah. Sure.
So I don't think it's an excellent movie,
right,
but I've always enjoyed it.
Okay.
So I really got into it probably a couple of years after it came out. Watched it with my dad. Right around this time period, I was really focused on going to college, getting my criminal justice degree, and wanted to go into the FBI as a psychological profiler. So that was a goal of mine. I've always loved Angelina Jolie, so I think that's part of why this movie's always kind of like had a spot that I in my heart, I guess.
Okay. Sure.
So I also just liked the movie. I thought the concept of the serial killer, not just taking lives and killing people, but actually taking on their lives.
I like that as well.
I just feel like entendre.
Yeah, I like that as well. And I think I even said that at some point in the movie. I just feel like it wasn't utilized
enough.
I agree.
I feel like it fell off very quickly and then it became a kind of a whodunit.
I agree. And I feel like while the movie is absolutely a whodunit, right? I liked that there was a plot twist after the whodunit.
Yeah.
You know, so it because really I would argue that the climax is when they're in the hospital after Angelina Jolie and Ethan Hawke hook up, he pops some stitches, he's getting sutured up. She goes down to the other room, and then you end up finding him in the elevator with the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I would argue that that would be probably like the climax or the first climax of the whodunit story of the movie.
Sure.
Right. So let's talk about the plot a little bit. So the story of this is about a serial killer, right? Starting from a very young age.
Very young.
And he was a twin brother. And I believe his first actual murder was his brother.
Did they ever go into that whatsoever?
I think the mother Am I remembering this myself? So I believe the mother, when they were interviewing the mother, had talked about how he was drowning.
I remember this.
And the brother jumped in to save him. And then the savior brother didn't make it back out.
Yeah, I do remember that. It was a little aggravating. I hate when there's any kind of twin element put into the plot. I really do. It's just, it seems like it's such an open door for cop-out bullshit. It's like, oh, it was the twin all along. It just seems cheap to me.
Hmm.
Other than The Prestige. The Prestige did it greatly. And I know you guys mentioned it. Oh, I thought you didn't like it.
No, I thought it was a great movie.
Okay, cool. But yeah, I just hate the whole twin element. Because you know bullshit's coming.
Okay.
You know that twin element is going to come again. And it's going to come at a time when you think you have it all figured it out. It's going to be, oh no, it was actually Marvin, not Martin.
Okay.
And yeah. Marvin's going to come and he's going to be the same actor playing him.
Wow.
Oh, don't get me riled up about twin bullshit. I'm going to come up with a name for it.
How do you feel about the Olsen twins?
Don't even get me started on Mary-Kate.
What about Ashley?
Fuck Ashley too. But Mary-Kate, she can take a flying leap.
All right. So I believe that it was strongly implied that Ethan Hawke's twin side of that brothership.
Steve.
Sure.
Yeah.
Killed his brother.
Somewhat implied. I wouldn't say strongly, but I'd say somewhat.
And
is what the first time watcher got from it.
Yeah. And then she had mentioned that, you know, there was some, just some strangeness with him. And then when we actually, the opening scene of the movie is when we really meet him. He's on, running away on a bus, right?
With a stack of cash.
With a stack of cash. And the bus breaks down and he and a guy he meets on the bus take off together.
Yeah.
And so I believe that the implication of him killing his brother when they were young, a little bit even younger, I believe they're high school when she said that the twin passed away. He always lived in his brother's shadow.
Okay.
And I believe that he had killed his brother and that came into play as to why he kept taking on anyone's life other than himself. I believe that was the implication.
Okay. That's somewhat respectable to kind of negate the twin bullshit. I'm sorry. Twin bullshit upsets me.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
No twins for Luke.
I get twins, oof, you don't want to know.
You realize now that if you, I mean, you will.
Probably,
so,
yeah.
That being said, anyway, brother dies somehow, right? He takes off. He meets another guy on the bus. Bus breaks down.
They hit it off right away.
They immediately become friends.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. They end up renting a car or in a car.
Buying the cheap car.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like super cheap, like $300 or something like that.
It was something ridiculous.
Yeah. Right. So they drive off into this is Canada, by the way, not the U.S. Yes, so Canada. I don't know how different the prices were at that point. So drive off together. Car blows a flat. He ends up deciding he wants to become the identity of the new friend.
Says, you're about my size.
You're about my size. Throws him in front of a moving vehicle. Smashes his head in with a rock. Proceeds to go on as this new identity.
Mm-hmm. I have a big problem with that opening scene. I'm sorry.
Oh, good. Let's talk about it.
I thought it was a good hook, but go ahead, Luke.
Okay, my whole problem with it is so much dependent upon happenstance. The bus had to blow a tire. The fix had to take hours, enough time for them to have to go get a car. The other guy had to suggest that they go together. The tire had to have go flat on the car. Another car had to have been going by. He had to have killed the other driver by the other driver swerving ridiculously to miss the guy, and the other guy died, so there's no witness. The other guy had to be his size. It just seemed like way too much shit. The stars aligned in ways that they don't.
Interesting. So could it be argued that because everything aligned the way it did, that this was not a planned occurrence at that point?
I don't think it was planned at all.
That's my point. Oh, that because it wasn't planned, it was more kind of improvisational or impulsive?
Yes. Yeah. I think they wanted you to think that this was like a plan all along. Like he was taking this trip because why else was he taking this trip?
I think he was running away.
He was running away. That's what I got. He was running from something. And I really did feel like I kind of agree with you. It was like happenstance, but he was capitalizing on the happenstance. He was using it to his advantage.
Absolutely. And in that moment, he just wanted to be somebody else.
Yeah.
And I think that he was probably running away from home because his brother had the situation with his brother drowning had recently happened. He took off.
And wasn't he also like living in the basement?
Yeah. What was the deal with that?
That was kind of and like wasn't allowed to weird. Come out and shit.
Am I crazy or was that odd?
It was odd.
His whole setup with
it was weird.
It was very.
It was weird. Like a very nice kind of mansion like or Victorian kind of house. And he has this little like cellar, like dungeon.
Yeah. Martin, I think it was his actual name.
Yeah, it was Martin.
Martin Asher.
That's right. Thank you. Yeah. Martin Asher. So yeah, that was weird. He was definitely not the chosen twin.
No. And I think she kind of proved that when they met after all those years. And yes. She just immediately had that disdain.
Yes.
Disdainful look on her face.
Yep. So I think it was, there's a lot of happenstance going on. I don't think he had a plan. And I think when you talk about serial killer type behavior, impulsiveness is most commonly on that checklist, like we talked about in Savage Land. Oh. And so I think that they were trying to kind of say that this was setting off his path of doing this and taking on other personas to be anyone but himself.
I could have swore they really went into him like having a plan all along when they had that kind of poster board with a collage of all the victims along the years and how like he's been going along with different ages going up. It seemed like it was methodical.
Yeah. And overlapping. I agree. But that was later.
And then somebody said something about how he watches his people.
I think that all came later.
Okay.
I think that opening scene was just to show like, this is what he's going to be a killer. He's going to take on the personas.
If we're just talking about the opening scene, then yeah. I understand.
Okay. So I agree that I wish they did more with that becoming the next person.
I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah. I thought it was a really cool aspect of the movie and I don't think they did enough with it.
No, it fell to the wayside.
They could have done a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They really could have. They could have at least showed like the first transition from that opening scene.
Agreed.
In like 2 years in the future, 3 years in the future, whatever it
Six
was.
Months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, him following somebody. It could have been the opening credits. It could have been credits, but it's showing it kind of in the background. You know what I mean?
Like a collage of it happening.
Yeah, exactly.
It was for the first time of year, it was really odd to me that they did not like key in on that being the main plot point.
Yeah.
Well, and it turned into a who is the killer instead.
Yeah. That's a good point.
It's just, that's probably what was most off-putting about this whole movie for me. Is that the title alone is betrayed pretty immediately.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's fair.
I see that.
That's fair.
I see that. It's like almost like they wanted us to see Angelina Jolie and forget about it.
Well, yeah, she was definitely the driving force. She was on the screen and her Jolies were on the screen.
She was naked.
Yes, she was. Yeah.
And I don't think it was her best acting performance, but she didn't look too bad.
She was all right. I think this was at her height of teenage boys jerking off to her.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think Luke licked his lips way too many times.
11 times total.
In like the first 6 minutes.
No, she was hot, but her acting was not. Her acting was okay.
Well, she has a very stoic character.
I think that's always just a cop out for someone who can't act, though. Because I'm getting a stoic character that's not charismatic.
I think her characters are often very similar persona'd.
I don't think
she has a huge range of acting. I love her, but I don't think she has a huge acting range.
It was her in Bone Collector, right? Similar type role as this.
I thought Bone Collector was
Morgan Freeman
and not Natalie Portman.
Someone Google it.
Yeah.
Sorry to spin you. Go ahead.
Anyway, so I don't think it was her world's best performance, but I don't think she detracted from the movie at all.
No.
I think that she was the driving force of the movie. And, you know, of course, you had to have the steamy sex scene with Angelina.
Yes.
Otherwise, why would you have her?
Which I was losing hope.
Bone Collector's definitely Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
Is it?
See, yes. Told you.
Okay. All righty.
I'd say Ethan Hawke outshines her personally.
Yeah.
He does. Agree.
His acting performance, yes.
Yeah.
Well, he's a better actor.
He is.
I like Ethan Hawke. He's not an excellent actor either, but I do like him.
I'd consider him a B-list actor.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like Jake Gyllenhaal, for example, is like the head of the B-list actors. Not quite an A-list. Just don't look at me like that. Let me finish my sentence.
Oh, Justin's offended.
My point is he is the head of the B-list, almost at the A. Can you look at me when I'm talking?
I can't.
Okay. My point is he's the greatest B-list actor. He's almost at the A's. Ethan Hawke is like in the middle there. Like a
middle B.
In a middle B. He's not like a somebody you see like the first name on like a movie poster of. Like, you know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson in shitty movie The Other Guys or something like that.
Really?
Yeah, really. You're not gonna look at me when I ask you to. I'm gonna get a low blowing. Go ahead,
Chris. This might have been the last time in 2004 that Ethan Hawke had a good acting performance. I'll just leave it at that.
All right. So anyway, the film starts off with introducing that Ethan Hawke's character, right, is going to become a serial killer. We don't know it's Ethan Hawke just yet.
No.
But we know there is a serial killer that's moving across Canada.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that Angelina Jolie is an FBI criminal profiler, which I thought was interesting that she was an FBI agent in Canada.
Yeah, that was kind of weird to me because isn't the FBI supposed to work domestically?
And generally, yes.
And if she was a profiler.
Unless there was crimes going across the border.
Like Alaska to, I don't know.
Or back and forth. Yeah. Like Canada and then back into the U.S.
Yeah, then I could see working together.
I thought that was kind of
I thought it was implied that she was like sought after for her incredible skills, her incredible, like, you know, ability to get into somebody's head.
To lay in a grave and feel what they felt.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was kind of like what she was sought after for.
And I agree with you, but then the person she was working with, they had worked together before.
Yeah, that's true.
And he was from Canada. So I wasn't really clear on that connection at all. But she is brought in to help figure out this strew of crimes and murders happening across Canada.
Basically to set up a profile.
And to set up a profile as to try and find the suspect, because they had no suspect at that point in time. So,
did you guys think she was successful in putting together her profile?
As a profiler? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
If we're assuming everything was in her plan, everything that occurred was a plan, then yes, for her. Then yeah, absolutely. But I think that she failed in a couple of ways.
As she missed the mark on, you know, who Ethan Hawke actually was.
That's so, open for a debate.
Yeah. Our initial interaction with Ethan Hawke is he's an art dealer.
Yeah, and he's been a victim.
And he was victim.
He's going to be the next victim, basically.
Yeah. Well, he hadn't been targeted yet. He had witnessed a crime.
Oh, that's right.
Supposedly.
And he exhibited the appropriate reaction to illustrate to her that he's not the serial killer. The appropriate mental reaction to things.
Correct.
Yeah.
So
she was fantastic.
Sociopath.
Which can be done by a sociopath. So I think I think from the criminal profiling aspect, not necessarily her as a profiler, but the criminal profiling aspect of the movie, I thought was pretty well done.
Okay.
Even to the point where she's like laying in the grave, she's laying where they found a body. That's something that they actually do quite often to try and really put themselves in that position to understand how things got to where they are.
Sure.
That's just some dark shit.
It is. This is why I didn't go down that path after all.
Yeah.
Because that's what I wanted to do.
I don't want to live in graves.
So, cool. But that's why she was laying in Martin's bed.
Yeah.
If you remember that scene.
And it was all to
bust out from underneath, right?
But we didn't know who he was yet.
Correct.
Yeah, it was the grave, not the bed you're talking about, right?
No, it was the bed. And no, when she goes down to where Martin.
I remember that. I thought you were talking about the grave.
She
was at first. But, yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. Transitioned.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, anyhow, she ends up getting into a relationship with the art dealer who we, you know, later find out actually is the serial killer. I think for a whodunit type flick, while some of the movie was a little bit predictable, I think that they did a pretty good job of giving you every reason why it shouldn't be Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great twist, too.
I would agree.
I mean, Luke was hardcore thinking one of the cops was involved.
Yeah, I remember.
All the way to the end.
I thought it was the French cop that did not like her at all.
Or did it imply it?
It did everything to deter you from thinking it was Ethan Hawke. So yeah, it did what it was supposed to do.
I'm still sour about the whole twin bullshit. So go ahead. That right there just takes it. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So anyhow, I actually thought that that was very well done as far as really emphasizing on the left hand. You know, so he was so much so getting into the new personas that he actually became ambidextrous.
Yeah, that's dedication right there.
Yeah. So I thought the aspect with the mother was really interesting because he honestly probably would not have gotten caught anywhere near that fast had she not been a driving force in that.
I would agree. I would agree. I mean, he would have never been found out. I mean, my question is, like, how did he know his mother was going to be at the hospital?
I forget how that came about.
It was because he was getting stitches.
Overheard it, right?
He must have. But the thing is, my question is, did he open up his own stitches so he had to be at the hospital?
No, or, I think it was
another happenstance. Another
happenstance. Like, it was just circumstance. That's it.
I think so, because the stitches popped open because of their freaky sex with her
on the desk
thing.
And him not even unzipping himself.
Yeah.
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 But somehow penetrating.
And all of his clothes on and her not. Yes.
We don't know how deep, though.
How deep Ethan's Hawke went?
Yes. Nice.
Straight up.
All right. He ends up in the hospital trying to get his stitches fixed. She's in the hospital with him. I forget why she got called away.
She got she answered her phone after not answering it all night.
Correct.
And found out that the mother was there to identify
the body.
Is that how he overheard? It must be.
I don't know.
Because for some reason, I remember him overhearing and him, like, his eyes looking that direction, but him trying to pretend like he didn't hear it.
Oh.
He maintained that character pretty well then, because then they were still acting all in love and giddy at that point.
And then as soon as she left, like, he snuck away.
This was after the scene with Kiefer Sutherland with the car on the freeway. Yeah. And I even looked at Luke at one point and was like, who's driving? This was very confusing to me.
Because all you saw was the silhouette from the back of the gun pointing at whoever the driver was.
Right.
And we find out the end compilation, what that was all about.
Yeah. And I thought that part was a little weak for me.
I did too. Especially when they did, like I said, the compilation and the detective who hears the gunshots and the screaming and everything goes up and gets killed. He doesn't have his gun drawn or anything. He's just like walking up to this.
Arm swinging.
Yeah. And he gets gunned down by Ethan Hawke. And then Ethan Hawke finds some like masking tape and tapes Kiefer Sutherland's arm like up like this while he's holding the gun so that he's driving. It was weak for me too. It was kind of like, give me a fucking break.
Yeah. I started to be really concerned early on when I first saw it, especially when he's driving the car.
Mm-hmm.
The cop has him drive that. What?
Why?
That made no sense.
None.
So if he's been abducted by a cop, he's going to put him in his car and let him drive?
Well, wait, Kiefer Sutherland was a cop?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking of the cop that came up. No, you're right.
The art dealer.
I retract.
Yeah.
That's right. Kiefer Sutherland was the art dealer that was owed like $80,000 something dollars.
It was something minute when you compare it to the...
But take out the cop statement I made. You're being kidnapped.
Yeah.
And now you're driving?
With a gun to your head.
And that just seems weird.
The police officer, your girlfriend that's following you, you know, she gets in her car, she speeds away, stops to put on her sunglasses.
And a Mustang.
Stops to make sure she has her sunglasses on, though, for the chase scene.
And seatbelt.
And seatbelt, yes.
Safety first.
Yeah. That chase scene was weak to me, too.
Yeah, it kind of was.
Yeah, it wasn't great. Yeah. It wasn't great. So, okay. One of the aspects I really did like, as I had mentioned before, is that the mother identified him on a boat, on a ferry at the very beginning.
Yeah. I did like that part too.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool. And she identified one of his nervous tics from when he was a kid. Mother always knows. And everybody thought she was crazy and a batty old woman had no clue what she's talking about. And she was 100% accurate.
Yeah. She was.
I didn't know where they were going to go with that, but I do like how they did that.
Yeah.
It made me wonder, like, why would he even go mess with her? His goal should be to stay away from her.
Right. You would think that would be it. Right? You think that would be his everything.
Like, it was over for him from that point.
It spiraled downhill.
Yeah.
But he's also established that he can change lives with people. He can take lives and change lives.
Yeah.
It was going full circle.
Mm.
take out mom that he had all the anger towards.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure. But I did like the mother aspect. One thing that I thought was kind of strange is they never, ever mentioned a father.
Yeah.
At all.
They didn't?
Nope.
Well, I mean, based on the way she treated the kids, I'm sure that fool took off a long time ago.
So, fun fact.
Oh, yay.
The movie's actually loosely based on a book.
Really?
And the book is by a Michael Pye called Taking Lives. It was written in the late 90s.
Okay.
And a major aspect subplot of the book was his relationship with his father.
Really?
That they completely left out of and scrapped from the movie.
Do you happen to know why?
No, I don't. I don't know why. Hmm. And I haven't read the book, so I don't know what that context is. I wonder if
that's due to personal experience by the writers or the director.
I don't know.
Huh.
But I thought that was kind of interesting. That was something that bothered me, is that there was no
father figure.
Well, not just that there was no father, but there's no mention. Yeah. There, it was almost like he couldn't have existed. And that's ridiculous. Whatever.
Yeah, that's...
I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I don't remember him ever being mentioned. No. Not even in like a, oh, their father was never around. Or
Exactly. That's what I was just thinking.
Or he felt neglected because his father took off. Or, I mean, there was no reference.
But it is pretty common for serial killers / sociopath to come from a one-parent family, right?
Yeah, it is.
And usually abandonment,
and abusive
situations.
So
maybe that's why they did it. Don't know.
I don't know.
Moving on.
Just don't know. So anyway, speaking of the scenes that came after, right after he killed his mother in the elevator.
Okay.
And Angelina Jolie comes running. She realizes there's a problem. She goes running to the, she's trying to get in the elevator. He's gone down the elevator. She runs down all these flights of stairs. Mm-hmm. Elevator opens. He's standing there with dead
blood.
Mother covered in blood.
He went that way. No, I'm just kidding.
Was anyone surprised that he ended up in the elevator with his mom?
I was.
I felt it came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I really did. I mean, I felt like we were close to a resolution at that point, and it kind of like threw in a wrench.
Yeah.
A little bit. So I mean, I'll give him that. It was surprising.
Yeah.
And I'm glad the twin bullshit didn't come into it. I'm really glad. I was glad.
Like The Departed, where, you know, at the very end, the two-bit character comes
Officer
in.
Officer Bannigan.
He was in the whole fucking movie, you guys.
Yeah. God.
Jeez. All right. So take it down. Please. I really loved the aspect of it where she played out that she was pregnant.
Yeah, I did too.
I thought that was really unexpected. And for me, the first time I saw it, you know, you see her, she's, you know, been removed from the FBI. She's been fired. She's now back living in the country. You see her at the post office in a small town. And then you see her stomach and it's like, oh, no, girl.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of my reaction to it.
I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, me too. I think it kind of saves the movie a little bit.
Yes.
I would agree.
Because if the movie ended with the climax of it's Ethan Hawke, he killed his mom, that's the elevator, boom, credits.
And he gets away.
I mean, I know. They should have just left it with, you know, his climax on Angelina, and then we would have been in a much better spot.
Oh, God.
You mean the sexual climax?
Yeah.
Yes, correct. Right.
Okay.
I mean,
So back to the last portion, the last twist of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I saw this movie, I remember when he stabbed her.
Her belly.
I about lost it.
Yeah, I gasped.
I did too.
Yeah. I think I heard you gasp.
Because it's like a place you never expect the film industry to go.
Yeah. Because at that point, we didn't know she was fake pregnant. Right. We thought she was pregnant.
They sure pulled it off in a way that, you know, everything about it was believable. Like the actions leading up to it seemed like it. Like, including her movements and everything.
Including the fact that she's sitting in a rocking chair reading a little nursery rhyme book and
making some tea. Super dedicated.
Yeah. I mean, that was 100%
believable. And then
I still think her surviving
full on helter skelter.
But I still think her surviving is very happenstance oriented, though. Mm-hmm. She had to, coincidentally, he had to not choke her to death with a garrote wire.
True.
And he could have killed her any number of times when he revealed himself, and he didn't, even though his intention.
I don't think he wanted to either.
He even said, I'm not going to kill you. I'm just trying to get you to stop.
But the thing is, at this point, he didn't know she was fake pregnant.
No.
So,
but he wanted his kids, and he was hoping they were twins.
He didn't want the kids. He says he stabbed the.
At that point, he said he wanted his kids, and he wasn't going to kill her. He wasn't going to harm her or the babies, and he was trying to choke her out He didn't stab her in the stomach until she tried to kill him. Right. And so that point, I actually think because he opened up to her in ways that I don't think he would have opened up. And this is my
own opinion. Ways that a typical sociopath wouldn't.
Correct. Yeah. I actually think he opened up to her. He said multiple times, we're similar. We're the same. I almost feel like he wanted that happy existence with her. As unrealistic as that is.
I feel like the love, we'll say, the feelings we saw between them, at least on his end, were realistic. I mean, regardless of who he was at his core, I feel like the smiles and the looks and everything were genuine. Like he was kind of infatuated with her.
Yeah. There was some chemistry.
And so, yeah, I kind of agree.
So I don't know. I mean, it's never really fully explained. No. This is kind of my theory on it.
I think it's.
But no, when he stabbed, the first time I saw that, I was like, movie over, done. Hate this fucking movie.
It's like hurting an animal in a movie or something like that. It's just, you're getting flunked.
I gasped. Literally like, type thing when I first saw it. And that moment, I think, was so memorable that that's what made this movie so memorable for me.
Fair enough. I'll remember that scene. Anytime I see a woman with a fake pregnant belly, I'll think of that. Anytime.
Comes up a lot.
Every few decades, I'm sure.
Better that than Sharon Tate.
Sharon Tate?
Sharon Tate, right? Yeah. No?
What the fuck are you talking about?
The Manson murders?
Yeah, exactly.
Because he killed her, or they killed her because she was pregnant? She was
pregnant, yeah.
Okay.
That's a dark place to go, bro. That was a
really dark place to go. We're talking about a fake pregnancy, not a real one.
I know, but you're talking about gasping and like how.
Oh my God. What's next? Okay. You gotta bring up like JonBenet Ramsey or something?
You don't think that had something to play with it? Like we grew up hearing the story of the Manson family and Helter Skelter and all that.
No, I'd read Helter Skelter and I was very familiar with that story, but that had nothing to do with the shock factor of seeing a pair of scissors. I know how you love it when I say scissor. Singular. Yeah.
There's two of them.
A pair of scissors. Wrenched into her stomach.
Yeah.
Scissors.
I always say, can you hand me the scissor?
That is a little irritating, I'll be honest with you.
Anyway.
Now, if you said I want, never mind. Go ahead. Continue.
Wow.
I was going to be inappropriate.
I know.
As usual.
I appreciate you not. So.
I'm super curious. What were you going to say? But go ahead.
I also appreciated that you almost immediately found out she wasn't really pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm glad that didn't draw in out
the same breath.
Yeah,
it was close. It was like there was the gasp. There was the audible cue, you know, and when he stabs her and everything. And then it was very.
She takes him out and then.
It's not long enough for anybody to go, I'm done and walking out of this theater.
Correct.
They didn't have enough time to get up and get their shit.
No.
And I felt like that was such an amazing plot twist. And so I felt like that last part of the movie was so well done that it fixes the issues for me.
The inconsistencies and the rest.
It does the same for me. Some of
the holes. Yeah, like the we holes. Talked about.
Yeah, the holes.
I mean, some of the holes got filled, but not all of them.
Jesus Christ. So any other scenes or there's not really any themes to kind of identify except, you know, the idea that he wanted to be anybody but himself.
Can I ask one question?
Yes, please.
When the young French cop slapped the shit out of her, what did you think? What were your thoughts?
Oh, I don't think that's okay.
I agree. I just mean like, you know, deserve it regardless of sex. Regardless. I mean, I can't use, I guess.
So it was too mad if he would have punched the other man.
I think it would be totally acceptable. Like, but because it's a woman. I can
understand his anger.
And she seemed to understand it too.
She did.
She was like, you know, I don't know. What did she say about that? Like
it was okay or something like that. Yeah. Like, stop. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like I just basically deserved it.
But that was another moment where it was like, oh, Oh, that was unexpected.
And especially in 2004.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
I think that was an interesting shock moment.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
It just, it made me a little uncomfortable. That's all.
Yeah.
Because it was a hard fucking slap.
Yeah.
Well, like, the fact that she just accepted it is really what I didn't like.
Yeah. I mean, in all reality, think about the ramifications of if it hadn't worked out the way they planned and she had really fucked up the whole case and let this guy go. I mean, countless lives were in jeopardy. So if you had been working on this case, I mean.
That's why I can understand the anger. Yeah.
Would you be like satisfied with just sternly talking to this person?
Everybody has a bad day at work.
Okay.
Doesn't mean you can physically abuse them.
Could you argue that her just accepting it was supposed to be a progressive women's movement to say that we're not different?
Hmm. No, I didn't get that.
I almost think it did because it was her. Basically, she's trying to prove that she's one of the guys and she's not pulling the, you know, the boy hit the girl.
I felt like it was more just we're both cops.
Yeah.
I felt it was like more like that.
And for me, I think the reason why I didn't like it much is it's just a respect thing.
Yeah, no, it's not okay.
You know?
And I mean, that was, dude, that was like the most insulting slap I've ever seen on screen.
Yeah.
Like full wind up, full.
Like you might as well have done it with a leather glove instead.
Yeah. And then gone out for a duel.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Pistols or swords?
Sword fight.
Oh, yes, sir.
All right, boys.
Good times. Good times.
Shall we move to budget?
Sure.
Because I don't think there's a whole lot.
I just had a question.
Yeah.
What's your favorite scene of the movie, Luke?
I'm going to go with the opening. Because at this point, I caught on taking lives. This guy was taking the life of this person and taking the life of the person.
So you were intrigued. And
I was very intrigued. It was something I hadn't seen before.
Okay.
I was let down when it was not.
So it was an original idea.
It was an original idea that like, it was like sucking you in.
Yeah.
And then didn't seem to pay off because it immediately changed tones. So yeah. I say the beginning. The beginning was intriguing. At the beginning, I was like looking forward to the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
And then just, I mean, it didn't fall off, but I heard the twin bullshit and I just saw that, okay, no more lives are being taken while lives are being taken. So, you know, well, where are we going with this title? You know,
yeah, it dragged a little bit.
It was like a little bit of Linus's blanket.
And even though there was some nudity in this movie, he still didn't say
it. It wasn't that great though. It was side boob. I think
it was the first movie we watched with anything like that, right? The first one we've reviewed.
With nudity? I don't think so, dude. I don't think so. I remember saying to you a few times that I was wearing track pants.
It's probably the most graphic nudity that we've.
I agree. You see your side butt and you see both boobs. And there, it's like, you know, it's just an awkward sex scene on top of a desk.
It is, but I think it's the first movie we've actually had. Oh, except for True Romance.
True. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. That was, inside the.
That was more passion.
Same.
Less. It was decided if I'm going to kill you. We'll see how this goes.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. But that, to answer your question, that was probably the scene that stands out the most.
Yeah. I like the intro too.
I do as well. I actually was super surprised at the intro because I was not expecting that coming at all the first time seeing it.
Yeah. It was such a good beginning and a good ending. You know, if they would have just done a couple things differently with the middle, I think it could have been an A movie.
I tend to agree.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
I tend to agree.
I agree with that. So do we want to move to budget, kids?
Yes, we do.
Sorry.
Yes, we do.
No, that's okay. Thank you for bringing that up.
No problem.
Appreciate that.
I'm going to go first.
Yes.
I'm going to say $63 million for budget.
Okay.
And for box office, I'm going to go $44 million.
Okay, Justin.
Budget, I'm going to go $42 million.
Okay.
Box office, it's 2004.
Mm-hmm.
I think people in 2004 really liked this.
I think people were oversaturated with movies like this at this point.
I'm going to go $131 million.
Jesus.
So budget was $45 million. Box office was 65.4.
Oh, damn. Wow.
So
it wasn't a flop, but it wasn't a.
Were any of us close on either of them?
He was very close in the budget.
Okay, gotcha.
He said $42 million?
Yeah.
Okay.
So very close in the budget.
Okay.
One thing that I thought was interesting, I read an interview with Ethan Hawke where he thinks it's a terrible movie.
Really?
And regrets significantly that he sold out for it.
No shit.
What do you mean he sold out That's for what it? He feels. Obviously, he didn't get paid a lot.
That's how he felt. He felt like it was a sellout movie and a terrible role. And he thought that by doing a sexy horror movie with Angelina Jolie would have been better than what this turned out to be.
Is he fucking like the male version of Megan Fox or something? Like he acted the whole movie and had no idea what it was about. He just missed the whole fucking thing.
I forgot well, about that knows? With Megan Fox.
Who knows, dude? But that's surprising to hear.
Yeah.
Like I was you like, think oh. you're in the movie, you're in the reads, you've read the script, you know what you're getting yourself yeah. into.
Well, maybe it's possible here he signed a contract.
It's true. I mean, you and read about choice. You read about Jaws 2 with Roy Scheider.
You always have a
that
choice.
That motherfucker was so pissed Life during the filming of that. Okay, we get it.
All right.
All right.
So that being said, do we want to move on to critic reviews or do we want to do our own reviews?
Critics.
You sure?
Well, wait, you mean the what?
Our ratings.
Our critic ratings.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go IMDb 4.8.
Okay.
Ooh. Good answer.
And really?
Yeah.
Oh, no shit. Okay. And Rotten Tomatoes, I'm going to go 58%.
Okay. Justin?
I'm going to go 5.1 because Luke stole my answer. I feel like he's trying to take my answers. And Rotten Tomatoes, I'm going to go a 62.
So one of the reasons why I chose for us to do this movie was because of how far apart the ratings are.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And I was curious to see what other people thought about it. Okay. So IMDb was 6.2.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes was 22%.
Holy shit.
That is quite a discrepancy.
I think that's our lowest Rotten Tomatoes movie.
Lower well, than, and maybe yeah. the, one of the big differences, IMDb's been around a long time. Rotten Tomatoes hasn't been around as long, right?
I don't know. Rotten Tomatoes has been around a while.
I want to say IMDb is older, though.
It's much older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you could go to IMDb when the internet was first around.
I remember going to it in early infancy.
It would give you all the facts. Early infancy. Yeah. Netscape Navigator days.
Dude, Prodigy, come on.
So we got 6.2 IMDb, 22% Rotten Tomatoes, 80% like it on Google.
You know, I don't even trust Google anymore because it's such that like yes or no, I liked it or I hated
it. It's kind of like the Amazon rating. If you ever look at the movies, like every movie's 4 stars at least.
Yeah, it's just like kind of untrustworthy to me.
But I think there's also something there because you chose to stream the movie. You obviously researched the movie. You chose to stream the movie or buy the movie and watch the movie. I think more people are inclined to go and give good reviews about movies than to just bash something. Whereas if they received a service, they're more inclined to bash it than give a good review.
Sure. But isn't this a thumbs up or thumbs down system?
Yes.
Okay. That
so you like it or dislike it.
Yeah. So you're not being asked to really, you're not being required to type anything.
Correct.
Correct.
Okay, so it's easy for people to just So I lend more weight to people that actually have to give some kind of a numerical or alphabetical rating and then say why they liked it. I feel like those are worth much more than just a hey thumb that was cool down. Thumbs up.
You don't think we could do like the Siskel and Ebert thumbs up? Thumbs
they,
down.
But they, two thumbs up. But they went into why they liked or disliked it.
They do.
So yes, we could do that.
Okay.
All right. Well, that being said, since this was my movie, I will go first on the rating.
Okay. It's refreshing.
So, and I usually try to make one of you go first. So
you do.
I will go first. So I give it a B minus. Okay. And
fair.
I give it a B minus because I love the concept. I like the criminal profiling aspect. Love Angelina. Like Ethan Hawke. Not their world's greatest acting performances. I like some of the twists and shock factors because what was shocking and really terrifying about like stomach being stabbed was quickly undone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that whole end of the movie and maybe quarter of the movie really liked. So I feel like overall it wasn't stellar acting, a little bit soapy, mm-hmm. soap opera-ish.
Sure.
But it was fun. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it. I've always enjoyed this movie. So,
it's entertaining.
Yeah. So I think all that combined, some of it's a little tacky. Like the hookup scene was a little tacky.
It's just so unrealistic.
But something needed to happen between them.
It was like forced chemistry.
For this movie. Yeah. Yes. So all in all, I think a B minus for me.
Okay. Cool. Justin?
I give this movie a C plus.
Okay.
So I'm actually surprised you gave it a B minus. I thought you were going to grade it a little bit higher. I feel a lot of the same ways you do. Great intro, great premise, overall plot, just some of the holes we've talked about. I actually think this is probably one of Ethan Hawke's better performances. I think maybe this and Training Day are probably the only two performances of his that I actually like. Angelina Jolie, not so much. I mean, these were during the times when she was doing Tomb Raiders. It wasn't like she was new to the gig. She had been doing movies for a while, and she had way better performances.
Yes, yes.
In the same time range. It was kind of like, pay me my money, I'm going to cruise. It's kind of how I felt. She was trying to get by with her duck lips. right?
Yeah.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
Kiefer Sutherland was just kind of an afterthought.
He was in it for a combined 8 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, not like even that. 24.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You're an idiot. Okay. C plus, as I said.
Okay. All right. I give it a C minus.
Okay.
And I didn't hate it. The holes we've talked about were a little more glaring to me. Twin bullshit was something I was expecting throughout it. So maybe that kind of soured my rating a bit. I can't harp on this enough. The whole taking lives concept was brilliant. The whole, you know, double entendre, as you said, was a brilliant idea, and it went by the wayside almost immediately. And that made me very sour.
Yeah, let us down.
I got to see Angelina Jolie's boobs, which, you know, is always a pleasure. I mean, I hadn't seen them since I saw her, like, you know, 2.5 years ago, but.
In what movie?
Oh, she just came by.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Angelina, right?
That was pretty good.
So anyways, I say C minus. I wouldn't watch it again, but it is somewhat memorable just for a couple of things I'll never probably ever think about again.
For the intro and the boobs.
The intro, the boobs, and the belly set.
Okay.
So
I see, average C.
You know, you see boobs all the time.
Solid C.
You'll never see that happening to a woman again.
Original Sin?
No.
We should review that.
Have someone suggest it.
Don't wear track pants that day.
Really?
Oh, definitely don't.
Don't wear
that's
track
not
pants.
Track pants day?
No. That's okay. Like skinny jeans. Like hold that in
that's
place.
Like pillow like with a magazine. And
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's Angelina Jolie and Antonio Banderas.
At one point, I was pretty sure she was going to get a black eye from her own boobs.
Original Sin, you say?
Yes, now you look interested.
Want to borrow it? We have it.
No, because
he
never gives back.
Anything back. He was like, 10 of my movies. Fuck you.
So, back to this review, everybody. True. Corralling Kittens is my next endeavor.
Oh,
so we got a C minus, a C plus, and a B minus comes to an average C rating.
Yes.
76.
Sounds about right.
Not quite a must see, but it's an okay.
It's definitely entertaining.
If it's on a Sunday night and there are no other channels available, check it out.
Or if you're just watching cable and don't have.
Or if you want to see Angelina's Jolie's.
Yes, it's true. You do see them from the side and they're not spectacular, but. I
mean, Angelina may stop by.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you for listening into our
ranting
banter and review of Taking Lives.
Taking Lives.
We'll catch you next time on Full Circle Reviews. Good night.
Bye.
See ya.